It's the Quizzo Cast, a behind-the-scenes look at the questions, writers, hosts, and players of Michigan's top pub trivia community. Here are your hosts, John Gay and Tom Whitaker.
Welcome into episode number 3 of the Quizzo Cast. Now, normally we go behind the scenes of Quizzo, but this time we're actually going to go behind the scenes of something a little bit bigger.
We've got one of our Quizzo hosts here who has been to, would you say, the pinnacle of trivia?
I'd say so, yeah.
I mean, other than Quizzo Detroit, of course. Jason was on Jeopardy. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. We've also, I guess, before we go, we've got a room full of a whole bunch of, when you offer a free beer to Quizzo hosts, they flock. So we've got Monster in the gallery, flame. We've got Pajama Dan, Katie, Zach, and Mike just walked here. I think he walked in with a beer, just came from off the street. So that's how it works. So we've got a whole cast of hosts in here, but we want to pick your brain a little bit about this Jeopardy experience.
So when were you on, Jason?
5 years ago tonight, I was watching myself win my second game. So,
look
October,
at this.
October of 2013.
When did you tape it? How far ahead of the tape?
It was the end of August, so I had about 5-6 weeks where I had to keep the results to myself and nobody else.
Could you tell anybody, like your parents or?
My parents actually came. They flew from Michigan to watch, and then I also had an aunt and uncle from San Juan Capistrano because we're allowed 4 seats. So it was really good having them there. It was a lot of emotional support.
Was there any bickering or debate in the family of who got the 4 seats? Because we were like second cousins, I'd be like, hey man.
Well, I mean, I also didn't tell many people, you know, that I was going to tape, you know, before I was on. So that made it easy. It was just, you know, I told mom and dad, and then my sister couldn't make it, but then they're like, ask your aunt and uncle who live semi nearby. So that was the one part of the whole experience that was pretty easy.
So how do you even qualify? How does the whole process start?
Sure. So you start by taking the online test, which Jeopardy offers, you know, every year or so. You have to get, you know, so many questions right out of 50 on that test. And I had failed the online test like 7 times in a row and had pretty much resigned myself to the fact that I just, you know, was not quite good enough to be on.
So this is one submission a year?
Correct. I finally passed 1 year, and they have auditions in 8 cities around the country. And as luck would have it, the year I passed, there was one in Detroit, the Weston Book Cadillac downtown. So interview there, and that's when you audition. Like, that's when they give you another test just to make sure you weren't cheating on the online test, because it's, you know, something that's easy to cheat on. And then they're also testing your personality and how good you would be on TV. And then about quarter of the people who get to the audition phase, if I had to guess, like they call them, and if they don't call you in a year to 2 years, then you can try again. So that's kind of the a very quick rundown of how the whole Jeopardy process goes.
So how does that work? You get the call of, hey, we want you, here are the dates, we're going to tape the show with you as a contestant?
And I was lucky because I interviewed, it was July 14th of 2013, my dad's birthday, and then they called me on the first day of August.
Wow.
And got said, a lot of these milestones really nailed down.
And they said, we want you here on the 28th. So, I mean, you know, some people, you know, they have to wait a year or 2 years. Some people never get the call. I was very lucky that I only had to wait a couple weeks.
So I want to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit on Jeopardy
sure.
here. I've heard that you get a study guide for what's going to be up on the board that day.
Sure. You hear incorrectly.
you're not given anything.
Correct.
Now, how do you cram?
Your study guide is the previous 30 years of Jeopardy episodes, I guess.
So how'd you handle that?
That's a really good question, because I feel like a lot of people...
Thank you. We're trivia hosts.
A lot of people, when they get on Jeopardy, like the first inclination is, oh, I got to study like presidents, or oh, I got to study, you know, like Oscar winners. My thing was like, I can study like a list of like, you know, I can like read the Bible or try to cram the Bible, but there's no guarantee that that's going to come up in one show or even 2 or 3 shows. So my thing was, I just wanted to be prepared mentally, mm-hmm. like for the day and for what it entailed.
It's not too nervous.
Right.
Well, I
used a clicky pen as a buzzer. I used a bookcase as a podium. I took a little desk lamp and put it on top of my TV just because I didn't know how bright the lights were and I wanted to get used to having them in my face.
So this is like muscle memory and like...
This is some good prep.
I invited people over because I felt like when I watched Jeopardy in front of people, like I'd try to show off and I'd reach and I'd guess at stuff that I shouldn't be guessing at. So, you know, I wanted to obviously get that out of my system before the real thing. So yeah, it was more just like dry runs. as opposed to like, I'm going to be mentally prepared for like what the day entails, as opposed to like, I'm going to cram these facts into my head in the next 4 weeks.
This is the psychological term, I think, is state dependent learning. Like, you were trying to replicate the setting so that you'd be more relaxed when you got there. You feel it worked?
Right. I'm going to pretend that I knew the phrase state dependent learning, and that's what I was going to say. But absolutely, I really feel like
what is.
I really feel like it gave me a leg up now over everybody else who was there that day. Absolutely.
So walk us through it. You get there.
Right.
Talk
well,
me through.
Well, there's a story.
There's a story before we get there.
Yes. That actually only my family knows. So
who thought Jeopardy was this riveting?
You want to see behind the curtain. There's a hotel that a lot of Jeopardy contestants stay at. There's not a discount, but it's
there's
in Culver City.
Discount.
It's in Culver City where the Sony studios are, and there's a shuttle that runs like, you know, between the hotel and the Sony studios. So, you know, I'm trying to get some sleep. Obviously, you know, it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest day of my life. And
sure.
I'm keyed up.
Aside from hosting Quizzo.
Right. So I try to, exactly, from every time I have to step behind the mic for Quizzo. You know, I eat breakfast. I go up to my room. I take a shower. I can see my watch from the shower. And I know the shuttle leaves at like a certain time. But I was also told it's like always late and it'll always like wait for everybody. So I'm like, I just want to, you know, give myself a few extra minutes to get my mind right. Mm-hmm. So I get there like, you know, I think it was 10 o'clock the shuttle left, and I get there like 10:05 or whatever. And I'm concerned because there's nothing out there and I don't see any other contestants out there. And so I asked the front desk, I was like, so like, you know, what about the Jeopardy show? I was told like, it, you know, leaves at this time, but it's usually late. She's like, oh yeah, that left. So fortunately there were cabs outside and I was able to take a cab to the studios, but then it, you know, just dropped me at like the generic public, you know, entrance. Can't remember how like they knew to get me there. I don't know if I called them or if somebody called me or how that worked, but you know, everybody else is there except for me at this point.
This guy couldn't even
so
find
now,
the studio.
So I need to get like a visitor's badge, like just to get in.
My God.
At this point, then like one of the contestant coordinators can come out and get me, but now I have to go through security. Now I am dressed to actually be on the show, and I've been told that the studio is quite cold. So I have on a dress shirt and a sweater and slacks in Los Angeles, you know, in August. And now I have to walk with all my stuff, like my changes of clothes, through the Sony Pictures studio. So by the time I actually got to like where the Jeopardy taping is, like I was, you know, flop sweat city. So
I can,
you know, you've heard the phrase like late to your own funeral. I can be like late to my own Jeopardy taping. You know, it's a very casual relationship that I have with punctuality.
Well, you make it in.
But I make it in. You know, everybody's filling out their forms. They're going over the stories that Alex might ask about. You know, it's almost like improv, how they don't want you to answer a question with yes. It's always kind of like a yes and they just want to make sure that you're going in depth.
Do they tape a bunch of shows in one sitting?
They do a week's worth in one day. So they do 3 shows and then lunch and then 2 shows. So Monday through Wednesday, lunch, and then they tape the Thursday, Friday shows.
So basically, you win that first episode. I'm not going to get ahead of myself here, but you win that first episode and they roll right into the second one.
Yeah. So, and it was definitely a very surreal experience where, like, I win the first one. Like, I go back, like, I have like 5 minutes to change clothes. I'm trying to time my time. My hands are shaking so much I can't even do that. You know, they're knocking on the door to the dressing room. Everything all right in there? I was like, yeah, I'm getting there.
Mr.
I'm getting
Adolf's
there. So yeah, so basically you just go in, you change clothes, you know, 5-10 minutes, and then boom, you're back out there.
So you're there, and there's a group of you, and do you know which show is yours, or are you kind of like, they have a rundown set, and you
correct.
Know when you're going, when you're recording and all that?
Yeah, so what they do is you have the returning champion, and then they say, like, the last thing before we go out is, like, the two people who are going to be on that show. And so I was on the Tuesday show, so right after the Monday show, the contestant guy goes up in the stands and say, like, you know, that name's been randomly picked from a hat, and it's like, you and you come with me. So that was when I knew. Immediately after that previous show, I was told, okay, it's going to be me. So
how long did you have between finding out and when they start rolling?
Again, like 5-10 minutes. Like, you know, just because I had already changed by that point, so I was already, you know, in like what I wanted
you
to wear.
You were in a sweaty mess at
that
point.
Just enough time to give the returning champion time to change, and yeah, one last chance to go to the bathroom.
Another time. I know I watched it at home, but it's been a couple of years, so I forget.
Right.
Talk to me about the champion who then you dethroned in your first game. Talk to me about this guy.
Sure.
Or gal.
She was, she was an anthropology professor from Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh.
And we actually had a debate backstage about the merits of Madison, Wisconsin via Ann Arbor, Michigan. So she wasn't a big fan of mine. And
little Big Ten rivalry.
Big Ten rivalry right there, yeah. there's a saying that Jeopardy is two parts luck and a third part luck. And I've already gone into, like, you know, how the, when I finally passed the test, there was an audition in Detroit. I was lucky that, you know, I got a returning champion who was actually in a distant third going into Final Jeopardy, but she was the only one who knew Final Jeopardy.
Also, you had yourself a week.
I mean, I don't want to say that, but
what's her name? Let's put her on. I know you remember her name. You remember the temperature of the day.
My parents and my aunt and uncle are going, you know, to the bathroom because they know it's going to be their last chance. And as they're in line, my uncle turns, you know, to my mom and says, "She wasn't that good. He can beat her."
All right, the confidence.
So I was fortunate that I didn't, you know, run into Ken Jennings or some other super champ. So.
We gave away Ken Jennings' book, actually, at the last Quizzo Finals. I give each last place team their booby prize with a trivia book.
Read this and maybe you won't be last next time? Yeah, is that like a comment? I see.
I like how we throw a little shade at you at the finals. Hey,
exactly.
Thanks for sticking with us for 12 weeks.
Say, for 12 weeks,
come
being
out,
the best
bananas.
Of the best.
You guys
know,
are the best.
Come in last. And
we're going to throw a little salt in the wound because you didn't have a good night.
Whatever. They get, you know, they get cash money when they come in. They work hard. Everyone has a good time. This time we had grilled cheese sandwiches.
Nothing wrong with that.
Chicago Doggos. Thank you very much.
That food smelled good. I was too busy walking around running my trap, but I didn't try any, but it smelled good. I kept hanging out in the back corner over there.
Jason, what's the moment like when they reveal the categories and you're like, I'd imagine you're on pins and needles because you're like, is this going to be stuff I know or shit that I have no idea?
No, cat breeds.
No. Like, no, I was going to say no. Okay. Yes. That's a good one for me. Oh, I hate that one. You know? Yeah. So yeah. And you know, it's.
So like we do at home.
Pretty much. Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly like at home.
So I won't go game by game. What was the favorite category you had? Where did you hit your stride? Like what was step back, you guys?
Right.
I have arrived.
Right.
The third part luck is here.
The end of my first game, I think I went on a run in Double Jeopardy where I got like 12 out of 13 in a row.
And Let's go. Get off me. It's my bus stop.
Yeah, there was a question called Target Insight, which was basically about Target stores, which was basically a category about U.S. geography.
Okay.
There was a category about Family Feud hosts, and I'm obviously a huge game show nerd, so I, you know, did pretty well, you know, on that one. And then a category, kind of like our bookends category, Begins and Ends with G, that I also did pretty well on. So, you know, I basically almost ran like half the Double Jeopardy board, and that allowed me to pull away and have it clinched going into final, which was an awesome feeling.
So did you wager zero?
I bet just enough to make sure that even if I get it wrong, person in second bets everything gets it right, that I still win by one. And,
so you're doing the math quickly on the fly.
Yep. And they give you loads of time to do that. Like they will give you as much time as you need to do that. Jeopardy is actually filmed in real time. So they actually take like the whatever the time is for the commercial. They actually take that amount of time so they can just splice it in. But for Final Jeopardy, they'll give you however long you need to get the math right. Like not just that, you know, extra long commercial, that 3-4 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
So I want to get more into I'm fascinated with the other people who are on Jeopardy.
Sure.
I mean, because it's like, what a story to get
there. Well, you have to remember, because I arrived late, like, they're all, like, getting to know each other, like, in the shuttle
bus. Yeah, you're the odd guy out.
Things like that. And then, yeah, here comes this guy, you know.
Disheveled.
Freaking sweating like a pig, disheveled, you know, already, you know, nervous AF. And so I was,
you can say
so
as
I
fuck on this podcast, you know.
But it's hip to say AF.
That's true.
He was trying to keep it classy.
I was on Jeopardy 5 years ago. It was tight AF.
But yeah, I mean, the other people.
So was there anybody who like, fuck this guy. Like, I got to beat this guy.
Oh, no.
Like, he's just looking at me wrong.
Jesus,
like,
too nice of a guy for that.
Like, so nobody, like, was there anybody, like, I mean, was there anybody who stood out other than maybe the previous champion?
Right. And that was, you know, that was always a concern. And there were two people who, so they tape on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they always have a couple extras just in case a contestant freezes or doesn't show up or whatever.
Misses
and
the show.
Those two people had come from out of town. So, you know, so they watch the whole day. They don't get picked, but they know they're getting, you know, on the next day. So they've already gone through the day. Like, they know what to expect. And they were definitely a lot more relaxed than the rest of the room. Like, we're all, you know, like cats on pins and needles. And they've been through all this already. They've seen it. They've done it. And they just seemed a lot more relaxed. And I was hope I don't have to face either of them.
So the day two taping gives you an advantage.
Well, if you've had to be there the day now, obviously, you know, they had to sit, you know, through five shows and their name doesn't get called. So that's obviously, you know, you're mentally prepared to go and then they don't call your name. So that, you know, obviously an adjustment there. But
sure.
But yeah, you know, to get to sit through that once probably was a bit of an advantage.
Jason, we talked a lot about the behind the scenes stuff. I got to ask the question everybody's waiting for.
Burning question.
How much did you win? How did you do?
I was going to say, like, you guys call yourself a journalist over here. You're
no, we don't.
That.
No,
nobody,
no.
Nobody called us that.
So I won twice. So including the consolation prize for my loss, I walked away with $38,000.
Wow!
Congratulations.
Yeah, made up for a stretch of being unemployed/underemployed and some poor financial decisions from my youth. So I used it, socked it away, and now I have my own house in Ferndale, which I'm currently paying off. So that was the down payment on that.
That's awesome. So what's the consolation prize?
$1,000 for third, $2,000 for second.
So you, how many nights did you win?
So I won twice.
Okay, and then what happened the third night?
Third game, you know, both of my opponents, I think, were kind of intimidated by that point. And then I opened the game by running the first category, and I just kind of let myself think, like, yeah, I'm going to win this one too. And then I just never got in a good rhythm after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Final Jeopardy was a musicals question. I know nothing about any musical, and it was a question about Les Mis, which was his favorite musical. It was just like, okay, like, that's my luck has run out, and you know,
you were done in by Jean Valjean.
Cosette, actually.
Cosette.
The answer was what is Cosette, which I'd never heard, because I distinctly remember standing there and Alex is reading his answer, like, who is Cosette? And I'm like, who is Cosette? What is Cosette?
Cosette.
I know this now because, like, all of my Les Mis friends are like, how did you not know Cosette? You know, so. You know.
All right, the other burning question.
Sure.
Trebek.
Yes.
Trebek.
Trebek.
Did he only talk about himself like he was moderating a gubernatorial debate, or did he?
Yeah, that was a disappointment.
Was he curmudgeonly, or was he?
No, he just kept, like, he was, like, engaging with the audience and kind of, like, inserting, like, his opinions on, like, you know, on things, and then, like, the audience would boo, and he'd be like, you can't boo me on that, like, these are the facts. So then he'd, like, engage with, you know, and the candidates, who are, like, supposed to be the focal point of the debate, are standing up there twiddling their thumbs, you know. So
was there a moment, like, it was a couple months ago that went viral, when he, like, called somebody a nerd, or, like, really insulted them? Like, did he insult any of you guys at all, or was he just kind of smug?
I mean, just the inherent Alex Trebek smugness. I definitely walked away, like, with a greater appreciation, like, for the job that he does. He takes questions from the audience, like, during commercials. So that's a cool thing that, you know, audience members get to ask him. And then, of course, everybody asks him about when the mustache is coming back, and everybody asks him how he would do if he was a contestant. So he has to listen to these questions, like, twice a day, and yet still manages to, like, answer the question like it's the first time he heard it, and that, you know, like, it's a really good original
question. Does he have, like, a monitor in front of him those questions pop up on?
He's just got a giant sheet. It's basically just, like, a giant sheet of paper. So you can sometimes see him, like, on the show. Yeah, he'll take, like, the Sharpie and, like, put a big, like, red X through something so he knows, like, you know.
Huh.
Did you get a picture with him?
He takes a picture with every contestant during the first commercial break, and then the staff of Jeopardy sends you that in a digital form, and it was my Facebook profile picture for probably a good couple years.
So it's still in there.
It's still absolutely.
It seems like it's a very streamlined operation. Other than you, missing the shuttle, it's pretty much they move you here.
They can't account for everything, but I mean, look, they've been doing this for 35 years. There's not a lot of staff turnover there. I mean, they have this down. They have this down to a science at this point. The staff is unbelievably competent.
Obviously, it was very beneficial to you in terms of getting the house and all that kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. I always tell people that it was the greatest experience of my life, and I would say that even if I didn't win $38,000. You know?
That's exactly that was exactly my question.
It still would have been the greatest experience.
You would feel that way. Okay, great.
Absolutely.
It's the QuizzoCast.
So I think it's time that we put your skills to the test here.
Okay, so is this going to be like... Is this going
to
be like a recurring segment on the show? Because, like, in episode one, you know, I'm sitting back here just in the peanut gallery, and Yum doesn't know a question and calls me in, like, when I'm back here shaking my head.
Oh, no, there's nobody behind you.
It's
going to
be like a regular segment, you know, Jeopardy champion face plants on trivia, and how in heck did he ever win $38,000? You know, he's a total moron.
Listen, if we can leave the first episode back in history and quit bringing that abomination up.
Look, I am 100% fine with that. But no, there's actually, Mike, who's a host, who's in the room here, we actually are in an online trivia competition together, and he consistently does better than me. So he was asked that question that I missed, and of course he knew it right away. But I'm telling Yum, I was like Reminar is better at trivia than I am. And Yum is like, how can you say that? Like, you're a Jeopardy champion. I said, okay, again, Jeopardy is two parts luck and the third part luck. I, you know, failed the online test, like, you know, 6-7 times.
So you're real confident going into this.
I was going to say, Mike, I'm going to call Mike in, like, when I, since he's in the room, I'm going to call Mike
you're
in.
Like, you're like tapping your arm like a baseball manager, like you're calling him in from the bullpen.
Like I'm the Red Sox manager, go asking for Kimbrel over here.
So here's the thing, since we do this every other week. It's a bi-weekly occurrence that Mike just stumbles in here.
So Mike Remnar, welcome. Am I saying that right, Remnar?
Yeah, yeah, you said it right. I'm just here for the free beer. I didn't realize I was going to be on a trivia game tonight. But Jason keeps reverse shit-talking me and saying I'm better at trivia than him. So I'm here to prove him wrong. This man's an actual two-time Jeopardy champion, and I passed the online test like one out of those 8 times. And then didn't get through my audition, so he's 3 better than me, I think.
So what happens if you don't get through the audition?
Nothing. They just leave you on the hook for like 2 years, and eventually you know...
Ooh, we'll call you.
Waiting right. by the phone.
Yeah, they say we'll call you, and then they don't.
Damn, they leave you on red for 2 years.
That's right, tough. And then you just keep taking the online test, which I have done and not gotten another audition, so...
Now, the caveat here is you guys can't intentionally tank this. Like you keep heaping praise on each other saying that the other one is better. But
No. I actually want to win this. I'm just like hedging it, like saying, no, I'm actually terrible at trivia. Right. I have no idea.
We're setting expectations over here. Like I'm super competitive and you know, I want to win everything too. I'm just setting expectations.
All right, so
we need a buzzer.
Right. I was going to say.
You could ask us alternating questions.
No. So the episode that I'd like to leave in the past, I'm going to bring back up.
I can do John's chicken bagok.
We used farm animal noises, so if you guys want to do that, or if you want to come up with your own buzzer,
I can do John's.
This is
chicken
a safe
bagok.
Space.
You enjoy the bagok?
I enjoy the.
You
bagok.
Got to do a little higher pitch than that,
or should I come up?
It was slightly higher pitch. That's not what I meant to do.
A different animal noise.
Bagok?
What?
Yeah. Okay, that was better.
Yeah, you can't be the same animal.
What fucking animal is good?
I went with the donkey. It wasn't wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you went with donkey.
I went with the hee haw.
Do a cow or?
It's hard to judge that because you only buzzed in once.
No, if you were bagok before, we should.
No, John was bagok. I was just going to steal his. I can do moo. I can do moo just as easy as
bagok. All right,
because
I have bagok.
Okay, absolutely. I will let you
know. All right, so Mike is bagok, and Jason is moo.
Moo.
All
right. Great. This is good.
We have a category.
Category is Jeopardy.
Oh,
okay. This should be in my wheelhouse.
All right.
I used to be a question writer, so
also,
if you can ask questions
you
that I wrote,
question,
that
would, or do I have to begawk?
Oh,
after
that's
the
a good
end,
question.
Like,
I actually jumped in on a question a couple times.
You jumped in, but I didn't like that.
Okay.
So.
I was gonna say, are we gonna do a like full university challenge here, where we just try to anticipate? Yeah,
let's do. Listen, you guys, and you know, Pajama Dan's here.
Our head writer.
So let's read the whole delightful question.
Okay.
And then you guys buzz in.
Okay.
All right. Let's.
Guy works hard on these.
Who was the original host of Jeopardy in 1964?
Moo.
Jason?
Art Fleming.
Yes. Point for Jason.
I was about to buzz in and say Merv Griffin. Who's he?
He's the executive producer of the whole shebang.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, we're going to move to a question from the Jeopardy debut. First episode ever.
Oh, very nice. This is answering it as of 19...
Right.
Whatever.
This was on Alex Trebek's premiere episode.
All right, let's
very
do it.
Cool.
In 1869, an American minister created what Oriental form of transportation? It's not specifically Oriental, but I would say it started.
So it's the least confident moo out of moo.
It started in the Orient. Go ahead, Jason with the moo.
What is a rickshaw?
What is a rickshaw? Huh.
All right,
so far, the Jeopardy champion is holding his own.
Predictably enough.
As you predicted. All right, let's go back to John here.
How much cash would you earn if you were a Jeopardy contestant and you
question.
Swept a category in the Double Jeopardy round?
Moo.
Jason?
3,000.
Incorrect.
It's tough to say.
Ooh, sorry.
6,000?
Hey!
Yay!
He's on
the
board.
Yeah, I got my mic. Mike is on the board.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that.
Actually,
he did know that. He swept some categories. He remembers
exactly.
What they were worth.
But it depends on when the question was written, because aren't the Double Jeopardy questions
currently.
Worth more now than they were 5 years ago?
Correct. I was living in the past.
So I guess we should have been
20 years in the past.
We should have been a little bit more clear. That was a modern day question.
2000, right, 2001 is when they doubled. No, I just screwed up the math in my head. No, we're not tossing.
No, so we're 2-1. 2-1. Okay.
This is bar trivia. We're not tossing points.
It was 20 years ago. It's not like it happened like yesterday.
Not getting rid of a question, no matter how bad it is. Yeah, this is a Quizzo podcast.
If you've got, like, honestly, if you've got...
That has to stay.
Half of my gigs, if you have a team name that offends another team, I'm giving you a point for that. I like it.
All right, Tom.
All right, I want to go back to the Jeopardy debut.
Okay,
so we're going wonderful. Back. We're going back in the Wayback Machine. A 1920s hunting trip to Canada inspired what food preservation method now used by the Bird's Eye brand?
Bagok. Freezing?
Freezing. Yeah. Storming back is Remnar. We are tied.
You're tied at two.
What is this? What are we doing? Are we doing best of seven, best of five? What are we doing here?
Let's see who gets to four first.
Four first. Okay.
All right. We're two to two. All right. Okay.
Two to two.
Katie's helping us keep score here. What longtime talk show sidekick holds the single-day Celebrity Jeopardy record, winning $68,000 for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital?
Cock.
Mike?
Kathy Lee Gifford?
That is incorrect.
Ooh. Moo. Andy Richter?
That is correct.
Oh, Richter!
I think I have heard that before. I was just trying to think of talk show sidekick. I was trying to...
Kathy Lee Gifford's the lead on all her talk
You're
shows.
Right. You're right.
Not when she was with Regis. It was Regis and Kathy Lee.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Like, yeah, oh, Regis and Kathy Lee, I guess he was the more famous one at the time.
Which... All right, our Jeopardy champion can clinch it with one more, Tom.
You can clinch it.
All right, here we go. Right.
And we're going to give him one that he should, if he really remembers his experience, he should know.
Whoa, I'm down by two.
Well, considering I didn't know how much the double Jeopardy round was worth when I, you know, like, that would be one you would think I would know with my experience, and I still, you know, kicked that one away, so...
Right, it's 3-2.
There's no question so easy that I can't screw it up, you know.
So Alex, we know, is the host of Jeopardy. Who's the announcer?
Moo. Johnny Gilbert.
Johnny Gilbert.
For the win.
In his 90s, and still.
I would like to protest that you gave the Jeopardy champion a bunch of Jeopardy.
Listen. Here's the
thing. You gotta beat him in his own game to win.
You gotta beat him in his own game, and also.
A very fair critique, I must say.
So tonight we have proven that once a Jeopardy champion, always a Jeopardy champion. Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you.
And while you're here, you want to promote your Quizzo gigs?
Absolutely. Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock at Maple Theater. Maple's a really, really cool place. Some Jeopardy aspirants there. It's probably the only Quizzo gig where more wine than beer is drunk during the game. It's quite a high class, and they take their trivia very seriously, which I do as well. So I enjoy hosting there. And then every Thursday night, 9 o'clock at Green Lantern in Madison Heights.
Nice. Those are good. And Mike, if you can win a trivia contest, we'll let you plug your gigs. But until then, we're going to need you to just hold on. So you can come back and try again. I have a feeling you'll be here for our next recording.
Yeah, I'm going to just audition for Jeopardy a dozen more times one of these years.
He's going to audition to plug his gigs in the Quizzo cast.
So that I can plug my gigs.
If you'd like to know where Mike and Jason and all of us are, you can check out our brand new website, which is QuizzoUSA.com.
Newfangled website. Check it out.
It's good. This has been the Quizzo cast. Listen to all of our episodes at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Find Quizzo on Facebook and Instagram at Quizzo Detroit, or follow us on Twitter at Quizzo. See you at the bar.